You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, happy Tuesday. Welcome into another edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We hope you enjoyed Monday's episode with a panel of guests, Caitlin Cooper and Whitney Medworth. They were both great. But today we can do our normal weekly show where me and Adam preview games, which we didn't get to do yesterday. So that means Adam's here. Adam, what's up?
Oh, not much. I really enjoyed yesterday's podcast only because it was nice to have somebody who agreed with me that why wait the next summer who the Pacers are getting.
Like everybody agreed with you.
I know. Well, Whitney said that, I was like, yes, you basically just diagnosed the whole like half the debates Tony and I have either on the podcast or even off the podcast. It's just, it was funny. I thought,
I think my favorite back-to-back interaction was when Caitlin was like, it was cool Miles Turner changed the angle of his screen so Victor Oladipo could snake the pick and roll, and then Whitney's like, the gray jerseys suck. I was like, okay, great. This is perfect. We have the perfect back-to-back discussion.
Well, they were kind of the perfect pledge. Where Caitlin is very like in the weeds kind of like play breakdown, and Whitney is much better, is like really good on the topics.
I know, discussion. We needed that.
So it's like, it's a very good balance. Versus you and me, we're more similar, not in our NBA kind of breakdown. So like, it's good to get kind of two different perspectives that were much different than us, at least.
It was fantastic. Gary Cook, our biggest fan, just tweeted at us and said he thought it was a Project Runway show. We were talking about fashion. Made me laugh.
Well, I thought that was the funniest. I mean, come on. We have some light moments in that just overall dreary podcast.
So basketball happens today. The Pacers play the Bulls, who they struggled to beat earlier in the season, 107-105. Victor Oladipo played in that game, though, and was a +5. That was Miles Turner's first game that made people finally stop talking crap about him. If you'll recall correctly, he was very, very good at the end of the game. But this one is a little different because the Bulls fired their coach today.
Yeah, and who did they replace him with? I'm blanking on the name.
Jim Boylan, former Pacers assistant.
That is right. That's why the name sounded familiar. I guess it's different, but this team was terrible with Hoiberg this season. Now, I don't think Hoiberg's a bad coach. I think
no, I don't either.
He was put in a situation where he wasn't going to succeed. Let's put it that way. Like there was just no way this team is like, this team is in tank mode. They're in the mode where they're trying to figure out what pieces they have that are actually useful and what pieces they can just kind of dump and go, you know, get a top three pick and add rookies around them that are viable. I'm maybe thinking Zion Williamson. You know, that's the guy they probably really, really could use in this team.
There's a world where Chris Dunn, Zion, Lauri Markkanen, and Wendell Carter is a very, very, very
good. Well, and that was the other piece I was going to say, is we forgot Markkanen didn't play that first one. He's back now. He might be on a limited minutes basis still at the time they play the Pacers, but which is actually –
he tomorrow. Played 26 minutes off the bench in his first game on Saturday.
So, okay, so he could be playing – I mean, he's a good – he, I thought, was a really solid rookie. I mean, in terms of rookies, he's probably in the top five last year, right, in terms of rookies.
I don't remember. I know he made all-rookie team. I don't remember which one. So he's definitely in the top 10.
Well, I mean, like, in terms of rookie last year, with Mitchell, Simmons, who kind of doesn't count, he was up there, and then who kind of, I mean, OG was really good. Those were kind of the best.
I don't remember the all-rookie teams very well for
my. I'm just thinking top of my head, the top four rookies last year were kind of those four. I think Tatum, sorry, I missed Tatum. That's Tatum's like five.
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah,
Markkanen was a beast.
Yeah, he was that. He's what makes the Jimmy Butler trade kind of worth it, because he's a really good player, I think.
Yeah, Chris Dunn's not bad, but he's not nearly the asset that Lauri Markkanen is.
And Markkanen has like a future of maybe being an all-star someday. Like,
yeah. He had 32 against the Pacers last year. Remember that game? And that was the only time they lost to the Bulls when Markkanen and Mirotić had 60.
Yeah, so Mirotić couldn't miss a three. Like he was taking step back, fading away three pointers from 25 feet and draining them.
So, numbers. Number update for the Bulls, who suck. 30th in offense, 19th in defense, 11th in pace, which I would have thought they'd be 19th in offense and 30th in defense given their roster. But to each their own, 28th in expected win loss. They have been really bad. I just don't know where to start, because the first time it was like, yeah, Zach LaVine has been really good. And the first time they played, LaVine chucked up 21 shots and only had 20 points, which is not good. And now LaVine has not been as good. His efficiency is gone. He's scoring 25 a game on 20 shots, which is okay efficiency, but not great. So I don't know what like the bright spot to start at is with them.
Well, I think with LaVine, so when the Pacers played them last, he was averaging 28.1 points per game on 51, 38, and 83 shooting splits. Since then, obviously those numbers have gone down.
Yes.
We did a lot. A lot, to put it that way. His His numbers are 23.3 on 40, 26, and 89 splits.
Yeah, so nice little flash in the pan of three-point shooting made him look real good.
I don't remember if I made a proclamation or not, but I'm pretty sure I said if he kept up the 29 number, I don't know what I would do, but I was like, I would be shocked by it. Like, I would just be stunned. Because there's just no way. I mean, he was playing out of his mind for the first, you know, 7-8 games of the season.
Good for him. I mean, that's cool. Made the Bulls look smart for signing him to big money, but now he's back to the little bean wheel.
But I don't know. I guess he was shooting well enough where it's like, yeah, just keep shooting the ball. You're shooting 51%.
He is exciting. That's good for a tanking team. They need exciting guys.
Yeah, but the problem I think with LaVine at the end of the day is going to be when you let a guy take 20 shots in a season, he starts to think he's the best player on the team. And LaVine fits as like the third guy on a roster, right?
Yes.
Maybe second, maybe he's number
great
two.
Great guy. Like, if he had another star who could ball dominate next to him and he had more open lanes, he'd be really good. But, you know, Wendell Carter and Lowry Markkanen aren't exactly, like, garnering double teams and stuff yet.
So maybe that's the move, right, is the team ultimately built around Markkanen and LaVine and whoever they go with the pick this year, right? That's
probably Carter, yeah. Wendell Carter.
Yes, all right. And that's kind of the team. So maybe they do have a good future. I'm afraid that as soon as they get a guy who's better – first of all, LaVine can't be their best player for them to be any good.
No.
And then if they got a player who's better than him, I'm afraid he's going to kind of throw a fit. I don't think he's like a D of a player, but I could just see kind of there being tension put the league.
I don't know. He got a huge shoe deal this summer, too. He's making a lot of money.
No, it wasn't that big. It was like for only 5 to 7 a year, right? Wasn't it like $35 million? That's big
for shoe deals. I mean, shoe deals.
Well, I mean, that's not like the Kevin Durant $300 million deal.
Yeah, I was going to say, we're spoiled by hearing like Giannis, Durant, and LeBron.
I guess what, a Kawhi signed one for 5 for 25, so.
Yeah, exactly.
But like the top shoe deals are like $300 million. That's what Kevin Durant got, $300 million. So let's slow your roll on.
Whoa, no. I think using Durant as a barometer is bad. Like,
well,
5 to 7 is a pretty good shoe deal. Like, no, Delvas is in the 100,000s.
It's a good shoe deal, but it's not like a great shoe deal. A great shoe deal is in the hundreds of millions.
His, his shoe deal is higher than like half the Pacers team's salary. So.
Yeah, I think they'll get a shoe deal eventually for more money than him, though.
I agree. So there's other players on the Wolves besides Zach LaVine. Lowry Markkanen, we already talked about a little bit. And like you said, I don't know how much he'll play slash how well he'll play. He did not shoot well 4 for 14 in his first game. There'll be some growing pains. And I don't know how everyone's going to be used because they have a new coach in Jim Boylan who's from the Spurs tree. So he's all about ball movement and stuff. He was not a great head coach at Utah in college, but maybe they'll keep the ball moving and look like a great offense. Some people believe that teams play really well in their first game under a new coach. I do not. So who knows what we'll see from the Bulls.
Should we talk about the biggest impediment to that ball movement?
The LaVine is an impediment to that
ball movement. Well, I would say Jabari Parker, too.
Jabari Parker is a huge impediment.
He's the biggest impediment to that.
Jabari Parker is not good.
No, but he can 15 shots a game. He puts up stats.
He's not a good NBA player. He looked like he was going to be, and now he's just not.
You know, you worry, especially in college. When a guy can't play D in college, is he ever going to play defense? Like, that's the biggest worry. He just has no desire to play defense, right, I would guess. I mean, he just doesn't. He's just like, I'm not going to do it. I mean, he got 112 defensive rating. That's B-ball ref, which is not great, but that's not good. That's just not good.
It's hard to score 16.5 points and seven and a half rebounds and still be like an obvious net negative. And he's doing very easily.
Yeah, and his shootings is really bad. I mean,
not very
45 and 29 from the field.
And to get Pacer-centric finally, because I guess it's fun to talk about Central Division teams because they play a lot, but going at Jabari is like probably a little over a point per possession just because he's terrible on D. And, you know, Markkanen is not great on D. Wendell Carter is actually okay, but he's a rookie. Like, he's not polished on D. Like, they have a lot of LaVine, who we already talked about, is not good. Like, they have a lot of guys you can just go at for easy points.
So this is kind of where – this is not going to happen, but I want to make a really bold, stupid take. Can I make it real quick?
Yes,
I love it. This would be the perfect game to place Sabonis at the four, to start him at the four.
Yeah.
Like, you got Markkanen, who come off an injury, who you could just – put it like he's the quintessential stretch five, let's say, and he's playing. I guess he didn't start last game. Who knows if he'll start? But if he does, I was kind of assuming if he does, you kind of put him next to Turner, which is fine. But you just give Sabonis like in that spot or whatever it is, and just let Sabonis constantly back Jabari down. Just give him the post and let him just go to feet. I mean, you know, this could be like this. You know, it happens in every once in a while, but it could be like a 10 of 10 Sabonis game for 30. Like, yeah, that one against New York. Like, he could do that if you really gave him the opportunity to. Now, I'm not saying they're going to, but it'd be interesting at least to see.
Yeah, the Bulls defense is so bad. that the Pacers put up 107 in a game where they only shot 85 shots, and they shot 27% from three. They got a ton of free throw attempts. You know, they just like the easy stuff to do against bad defensive teams were really easy in that first game. And adding in Lowry only doesn't really help their defense a ton. I mean, kind of. Jabari started last time. He will not this time, but.
You think Markkanen starts in Jabari's spot?
Yeah, I think he'll start this time. New coach. I think they'll move him into the starting lineup.
So what's is their starting five? Is Carter playing the kind of the four then right now?
Their starting five recently has been I'm going to try my best here. Archie Diacono, that dude from Nova, I think.
Yeah.
Has been the one. And then Levine, Holiday.
Parker Carter.
Yes. Thank you.
See, I was thinking that he would go in for Carter, but I guess that wouldn't make sense. You're right. It would be Jabari would be the sixth man. Yeah. So maybe actually, never mind. Don't start as Parker plays. But I'm thinking, I guess Markkanen didn't start.
Well, I thought you were going to start Sabonis and Turner against Lowry and Wendell, and I thought that was fine.
That could work too, but I was thinking against Parker just because Parker's.
Yeah, no, I get that.
I think you want the Sabonis Parker matchup, is what I'm saying. You
try to. That's a fun name to say. Can we practice saying Archie Diacono for a few minutes?
Oh, Ryan Archie Diacono. Where did he is the. Is he the red? No, he's not the redhead guard from.
No. That's
DiVincenzo.
Also a fun name to say. I had to pull up his B-ball ref page to read his last name. Archie Diac. It's in all caps. Archie Diacono.
So, I mean, there must be some kind of strong Italian tie at the Villanova program with Jay Wright. I mean,
did he go to Villanova? Is that right? Yeah, it is good.
Yeah, he did. He was isn't he the one who made the pass to the guy that hit the game-winning shot 2 years ago?
That's correct. I called him RC Adondo the first time we did a podcast, and that's
nice. Cool. I knew. I mean, I've heard his name before because then that play-by-play for the game-winning shot, it's like Archie Diacono. I forget who the guy who made the shot now was, but
Chris something. I saw Zach Lowe wrote about the Bulls today, and he talked about that Archie whatever playing over 40 minutes in a game one time, and I didn't believe him, but sure enough, he played over 40 minutes against the Heat last week. So.
Wow.
That's pretty – their point guard position is not good.
The question, I guess, is this team has played the Pacers really tough, and so
– division games, always not easy.
Right, like they should be able to win without Oladipo, but yeah. I'm concerned it's going to be tougher than we think.
They lost him without Vic last year, didn't they? Correct?
Is that the game he didn't play that game?
7.
That sounds right. I think you're right. That sounds
yeah.
right.
Yeah. Yeah, this – I still think they'll win. A new coach at home – just a bad basketball team playing a guy whose name I can't pronounce at the one for big minutes. Yeah, they'll have a lot of options to score points. And, like, Turner's rounding it out and will play good D. Like, even for this team that seems like they have high scores, they should have trouble scoring, and they have a bad D. Like, I think they'll be fine.
Remember, it took Turner's block to win the game last time.
Yes, it did. They played bad that game. They were down by like 20 in the first quarter, remember?
Here's what I'll say, though. If they don't – well, they're down 20 every game, Tony. So you can
say true.
In the first quarter, which is an issue which we eventually need to start addressing at like Vic comes return and they still the issue of that. I guess my worry is you don't want it to be a close game because I don't think they have a – they just don't have a closer.
God, the end of the Kings game was frustrating.
I mean, it was they drew up a really well – really good play, but like – I mean, I don't mean to hate on your guy Bojan, but like – you know, if Vic had that shot, he makes that. Like he just
even Darren Collison hit that shot against the Bulls.
But like Vic makes that shot 12 out of 10 times. Like that's, I mean, he was so open. And like, and you with Bogut, like you knew it was like 50-50. Like, okay, maybe it goes in, or maybe it somehow stupidly falls out because it's Bogut and he can't buy any luck in the last 2 minutes of a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they win. The only guy who could even be a butcher to me is Levine. Like, I don't think anyone else has.
Well, he'll be a butcher, but he'll have 30 shots, so he'll be like a fake butcher.
No. Like, if he gets hot, he's a clear butcher because he shoots so much. He's a high variance guy because he shoots so much, but I don't think he will. And they're
going to put Thad on him, right? Or did they put Bogdan on last time?
Yeah, Levine?
Well, last time, Oladipo guarded him last time, and then
Oladipo guarded him because Justin Holliday is at the three.
Oh, okay. Okay, that makes sense. So then I guess Tyreek's going to guard him this time.
Hey, you know what would be a fun X-Factor pick is Aaron Holiday against his brother.
Yeah, or I would say Corey Joseph to get some bigger minutes against Levine.
Yeah, true.
He'll be good. His defense will be very valuable in this game.
I'm going to go Pacers win because the Bulls are bad.
I agree with you. I think it's a Pacer win. X-Factor-wise, I guess, I think it's a big night for Sabonis.
Nice. Bad bench bigs, even if Robin Lopez plays, which sometimes he doesn't.
Although, I worry Sabonis could be hurt, though. That's the only thing.
I was thinking that at first, but they just sent EK down to Fort Wayne. So I think they're thinking he's good to go.
Yeah. It might have just been like a tweak he had against the Lakers and got better.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Good questions. There's a lot of good guys to pick. You know, Tyreek could have a good game going at LaVine, but he's been really bad recently. So I don't know. Maybe I'll pick a breakout game from Tyreek. Let's give him the Spurs rule. Just read about this in Zach Lowe's thing too. You have half a second when you catch the ball to dribble, pass, or shoot. Don't hold it. That would help him so much.
You know what would help him really a lot would be passing out of the post. Or the, yeah.
Try passing out of anywhere.
Not passing out of the post. Not passing out of the post, but like if Tyreek got the ball and got in the lane and passed it out every time, because he clearly,
his bad.
He literally, the basket blocks his shot more than the other team. That Lakers, that Lakers sequence of plays, like, yeah, two of them, I think. The two things where he was just like four straight plays of just pure garbage. Like, he just can't let that happen.
Under 50% from 0 to 3 feet. That is insane.
It's a bonus. On the other hand, it's shooting like 80% in that range. Have you noticed that?
Yes, I have.
I mean, that's Sabonis is lifting them up by like a crazy amount on that inside shot in that bench unit at least.
Yeah. Want to move on to the next game?
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey guys, I'm going to take this break to tell you once again about the lovely Action Heat. I was checking out Action Heat again this weekend to see more of their products than I have. And for those of you that don't know what Action Heat is, they make battery-powered clothing, similar to a heated seat in your car. It can like heat up your body to up to 135 degrees. It looks awesome. And they have everything. They have socks, they have gloves, they have great jackets. They have stuff for your dog when I was looking through that. It just blew my mind, some of the stuff that I wouldn't even think about that I need. They have like fanny packs. They have heated seat cushions if you actually want to make one of them a heated seat for your car. They have baklavas. Balaclavas. Wow, baklava is completely something else. Gloves. They have stuff for men, stuff for women. But really, the one for your dog would be very funny. They have ones that you can have rechargeable batteries. They have ones that you can use regular batteries for. They really have everything to make you comfy in the winter while it's cold. It looks very awesome. It's perfect for a Christmas gift. It provides some toasty warmth when it's cold outside. I think it's going to be an awesome product because I just ordered something from there. So I will let you guys know how it is. It'll keep you warm in the nice cold winter weather. And of course, same deal as always, actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything that they have. If you use the code locked on at checkout, you'll can save 20% on your order. That's actionheat.com/lockedon. Use the code locked on at checkout to get 20% off your order of battery powered clothing. Go check it out. So this is going to be fun, Adam. We have the Aaron Gordon revenge game since the Pacers signed him this summer and he's playing his favorite former team.
Oh, ha, ha, ha. Good thing they didn't do that, right? What's the stat line this year?
Good thing they didn't do that. Everybody was yelling in my ear about that being the move when Aaron Gordon got 4 for 80.
Okay.
No, Aaron Gordon's a good player. He's not a 4 for 80 player, is my take on Aaron Gordon.
Okay, but the question is, who would you rather pay 4 for 80 for, Aaron Gordon or Miles Turner?
Oh, Miles Turner, absolutely. I think he's more impactful than Aaron Gordon.
But Aaron Gordon shoots 35% from three. Miles Turner shoots, I forget, like 27.
The only barometer of contract value, 3.2.
just testing you. All right, fine.
I think Aaron Gordon got a declining deal, but he got a full guarantee, which turned out.
I don't think he got a full 80, though. I thought he got.
No, like, you might be right. He got some real team friendly
thing. I thought it was like almost the same as Turner's, but it was like 20, 18, 16, 16.
Yeah, it was declining, which is nice for the Magic. Nice and tradable. That's such lame shit.
It's smart, though. I mean, it's smart by him to get money up front.
They're going to trade me, but I guess if you're getting traded from Orlando. We're saying mean things. Aaron Gordon is actually good. I'd just like to be petty because everyone said they were going to sign him this summer. The Magic are 11 and 12. They're not terrible. It's crazy that having not a terrible point guard makes a bad team to a not bad team anymore. We just saw that with the Kings, we'll talk about in a minute. And the Magic, who didn't bring in any new point guards, but DJ Augustine, former Pacer, actually playing okay this year has helped them quite a bit. But yeah, the Magic don't suck, Adam.
I feel like this is a thing with Augustine where he has like a nice 20-30 game run and it kind of eventually falls off.
I thought the thing with him was every other year, isn't it? Or something like that.
Oh, that might be what it is. So like, yeah, you look at his stat line. So it's like 11, 6, 14, 4, 13, 2, 14. Yeah. You're right. It's every other year, basically.
Yeah, where his shooting splits pick up and stuff. It's very bizarre.
And he's been traded like 5 times, too.
Yeah, he has. So he's not like he's a fine NBA player, but he's not consistent at all. But this is a good year for DJ Augustine, and that's helping the Magic. But what's really helping the Magic, what I'm actually looking forward to seeing, is Nikola Vucevic is playing out of his mind.
Yeah, the problem with the Mavs too is they have too many centers, but Vucevic is awesome.
Is it Vucevic? I have no idea.
Vucevic, isn't it? Vucevic?
I don't know. People call him Vooch, so you're probably right that it's Vooch.
Yeah, it's Vooch.
You're right.
Yeah, Vucevic. Yeah, I nailed that. I'm looking at his pronunciation on B-ball ref. I remember when he was, I guess it was his third or fourth year. Fourth year when he had the 19 points per game. Like, I thought he was a pretty decent center. They were kind of worried that he was too traditional. But this year, he's been a decent three-point shooter. I mean, he's just been definitely, he's kind of expanded his game, I guess is the right way to put it.
Making 40% on three attempts per game is good. I feel like he's destined to be on the Hornets or Wizards by the trade deadline.
He makes perfect sense in the Wizards.
Perfect sense.
Right.
He's
there's
for a long time. Makes so much sense.
What's his contract? Because there's a trade for John Wall there, right?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. He's expiring. They could use that too.
Oh, I thought the idea was.
I threw this out on Twitter as a joke, but like imagine the Magic. They get assets and Dwight Howard for Vooch. So they get like a franchise legend and good assets for their expiring player who's playing well. I thought that was cool, but everyone, Magic Twitter got a hold of it and they were like, no.
Dwight ain't come back. The question with the Magic is, what do they really need? And they really need a point guard, right? Or some kind of guard.
They need anything that's not a big man.
Yeah, so that's why I would say, I mean, Otto Porter can make sense here for him, maybe.
Yeah, that's true.
I guess the problem with Vucevic is they have Isaacs and Bamba who are like promising rookies, I guess, but like you really, if you're building a team, you wouldn't draft somebody else besides Bamba because you would have thought, oh, Vucevic is like gonna be a cornerstone or whatever. We could use like a guard maybe. I'm trying to think who went that late in the draft. I guess they were right after the Luka Doncic and the
Trae Young.
Left at that point. I guess not a ton of guards, right?
No one that you're like, oh, you gotta pick that guard.
And I think they tried to trade up too to go get Trae Young and they just got beat.
Yep. It would have been fun for them. Once he's gone and they're doing the Isaac Bamba thing and they get something for Gordon or they find a way to use him at the three, I think that'll be way more fun. But they've been okay. I think that's kind of shocking. I think they have a ton of guys who are very obvious trade guys. And I have one sneaky guy on the Magic that I think the Pacers might make some sense to trade for at some point.
And Terrence Ross?
It is Terrence Ross.
I knew it. He's a part of that former Raptors team.
Yes.
Kojo.
I don't know what it would take to do that, and I don't think it makes a ton of sense to do right now. But maybe at some point sneaking him in as some wing/forward.
Well, the problem is if the Magic remain in the play contention,
they're not trading anybody. Yeah.
Well, they might still trade Vucevic just to like get their young guys minutes, but just because it's expiring, they're not going to trade any of their like kind of extra assets that they could help them win games, I guess.
So it's making the Magic good under new coach Steve Clifford. Fourth in assists per game and sixth fewest turnovers per game. They're moving the ball and they're doing it very well, which is surprising given that they are kind of a bigger team without a guard that you would think would move the ball. But something they're doing is working very well.
Yeah, Clifford's not a terrible coach either. I mean,
Clifford's good.
Right. He was the one who got sick while he was in Charlotte, right?
He
got sick for a little bit, and he had his first year. Was it first year the one we went to the playoffs? They got the
46 games, 40 something games. Yeah, they were pretty good.
With the Al Jefferson led team.
Yep.
So, I mean, this team is a little bit like that team in terms of like kind of put Vucevic in the Jefferson role.
Yeah, they're outperforming their point differential, so it's not like they've actually been like super great, but they're doing things way better than the Magic of the past, the Frank Vogel Magic. I hate to say it.
Great Pacer coach.
Great Pacer coach, not a good Magic coach.
Maybe the next Pacer coach.
Maybe. Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, I mean, the Magic could, you know, they have a lot of guys who could have a good game. Vooch could, you know, make Miles Turner's rim protection less important by pulling him from the rim. Fournier could go off any time. I think he did last year in Baker's Life one game.
You know what I'm most excited to watch, though?
What? I don't know.
I mean, there's a matchup here that you're just missing completely.
No, don't tell me. Crap.
The Mo Bamba, Miles Turner, Texas matchup. The
Texas centers, crap. That was right in front of my face.
Like Turner started this run of great Texas centers, and Bamba continued it.
Yeah, Bamba's cool, man.
Really, just two of them.
The song like made him overhyped because he's not like amazing, but he's been okay for a center. I think.
Well, he's partially those summer videos where he's draining threes got him kind of like way. Oh, this guy's gonna be like the modern stretch five, run the court center. Like, I don't know if he's quite that.
There's a chance though that like Bamba and Isaac becomes just so hard to score on one day.
Yeah, I mean they're both of them are so young. Isaac wasn't the youngest guy in the draft. Last year, 2 years ago.
No, you know who the youngest guy in the draft was last year?
Well, last year was Wendell Carter.
Keioni Bogu was the youngest guy in the draft.
Oh, 2 years ago. But he's very young.
But yeah, he's 20. He just turned 21.
Yeah, so he was one of the youngest, like, good players picked.
Yes. Anchor. He's good. I liked Johnny Isaac when he was picked, but he had got hurt last year. And he
was so I think the jury's still out on both of them. But I think you're right. The question they have to decide is, they're maybe eighth seed good enough this season? You know, maybe. Like, they can compete for the eighth, probably.
Are they in it right now?
They're the seventh in the East, right? They're seventh in the East right now. The thing is, they're most likely to end up like ninth or tenth. And is that worth it, or do you kind of clear out your veterans to get your rookies some minutes and just try to build this team out like with the three outlook and maybe get another guy? Now, I know they can't get Zion Williamson because that'd be too many centers, but there's got to. I don't know the draft well enough yet, but I'm sure there's some guards they could kind of go for. They would like to have at least.
Yeah, that Trey Jones dude from Duke will fit them really nice. I like the Magic's long term outlook for the first time in a long time.
I think this is gonna be a tough matchup too for the Pacers.
I do too. Yeah, on the road, this is Orlando's third game of four nights, which are always tough. The Lakers game last week and the Hornets game the week before were both that, and they lost with some tough defensive rotations. This is going to be another game like that. And the Magic are moving the ball well, but tired legs is hard. So I think the Pacers could, you know, beat them because of that in Orlando. But yeah, I think you're right. It could be a tougher game than people think.
I think I see a kind of another Kings-like game where it's just like a lot of back and forth slog, I guess the way to put it. And you're gonna need one player like a Bojan or somebody else to kind of carry the offensive load in the game. Yep. It's gonna be slower, obviously, because they play at a slower pace. Yeah, they're like 23rd pace. So, and the Kings are what, top five, right?
Yes, they are.
Well, we'll talk about it in a minute anyway. So it's not gonna be like this high up and down game, but it's gonna be the same kind of like, you get a 5-point lead and they come back and it's back and forth. And it's like, why can't you pull away? Because you don't quite have that guy and they're headed to hang around. And if you let them hang around long enough, you know, all they need is a nice little play at the end of a game to break their way on a putback.
Yep, that's accurate. That is accurate. Vucevic is an obvious choice. Vucevic, we just went over this, Tony.
Yes, Tony, we did.
I'll pick Aaron Gordon, though. I just think he could have a good game. He's playing the three a bit more.
About time.
No, that's bad for him.
No, sorry. He needs to play the four more. Sorry, I'm one of my bad.
Not a ton of three. Like, not a ton of three. He only plays three when he's next to, Gordon and Isaac. Or not Gordon and Isaac. Isaac and Bamba or something like that. But usually plays four. But when he plays three, sometimes he'll just kill Bojan and McDermott. And even when he's at the four and they have one of Bojan and McDermott at the four, he will kill them.
So. I don't know if he'll kill them at the three. He's not, I don't know. It might be too clogged of a lane.
Maybe. That's possible.
But I agree. He's the best player. I mean, he's one of the two guys you'd pick. Let's put it that way.
Vucevic are the only two. Yeah,
unless you want to pick a DJ Augustine destroying Derek.
Evan Fournier, I would concede as an okay pick.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this team is they have lots of okay players.
Yeah, they do.
Like, it's kind of like if you didn't have Vic on our team, it's kind of how his team would look. That's how the Pacers kind of look, I would say, right? If you didn't have Vic, they might look like this. You know, you put Sabonis in Vucevic's spot.
That's sad.
You put Bojan in Fournier spot, Collison and DJ Augustine. I don't know where you throw Thad, but he's somewhere in there. I'm just saying, like, this is how the Pacers would look if they didn't have Vic. And what's ironic is this team could have Vic if they weren't so dumb.
They could have Western Conference Player of the Month, Tobias Harris, and they could have Victor Oladipo.
Theoretically, they could have Paul George because they could have just waited when we were football those guys for Paul George. So
tragic how badly. Rob Hennigan might be the worst GM in NBA history. He was terrible for them.
It's just crazy that they had both Sabonis and Oladipo and got rid of them. And those two guys literally are leading the Pacers to the playoffs this year. Like, those two guys are good enough to lead a team in the East to the playoffs. And the Magic had those guys.
They traded away any good point guards recently because if they have, you could make a lineup of that point guard, Victor Oladipo, Mo Harkless, Tobias Harris, and I just had it. Dang it. They Sabonis. And, like, there's a great starting five of former Magic players.
I think they haven't had a good point guard since Oladipo, to be honest, or a good guard at least.
That's fair. No, Jamarion Ellison was an all-star for them.
Yeah, but I'm saying since Oladipo. It's been 4 years since – or not 4 years. It's been 3 years since Oladipo got traded from there.
It just makes no sense, though.
They had Alfred Payton. I don't know.
Jamarion Ellison was an all-star. What the hell,
man? The Magic made an NBA Finals. I mean, that's
I know. Crazy. They were.
They were –
Dan Van Gundy.
They were closer than you think to winning an NBA championship.
Yes, they were.
That's how crazy it is. I mean, there's a world where the Magic won a championship. Dwight Howard is a NBA champion.
Who wins this game?
The Magic do, I think.
The same noise. That's why I made you go first.
I think the Magic do, unfortunately.
I also think the Magic win. I'm glad
you Although, said. Pacers undefeated on back-to-backs.
That's true. Which every time I'm like, oh, it's a back-to-back, and then they just win.
They do. They pull them out. And, I'm still pissed I watched the Kings this week. That wasn't a back-to-back, but still, could have beat them.
I don't know. Something about that game just makes me not angry. Like, I feel like they had no business being in it even. So,
well, it's because at the end of the game, all the players were smiling, like, "Oh, it's okay. We barely lost our best player." But they didn't play good. Turner should have boxed the guy out. Whatever. We're talking about the Kings in a minute.
That was Thad's guy to box. He didn't.
That's fine. We talk about the King during the King segment.
Phelan just said that yesterday.
I know. We can talk about it more during the King segment.
Listen to our coach. Our King segment, you say, coming right up. So the Kings are not bad also, like the Magic. Another up-and-coming team, 11-11. We just saw them. They're 17th in offense and 21st in defense, both close to average. I have no idea how the Kings are not terrible because their roster seems like it would be. But like the Magic, I will attribute it to this. Having a good point guard on the court at all times is important, and De'Aaron Fox looks great this year. So that is why I'll give the Kings not a bad team now.
Yeah, they are frisky. Let's put it that way. They play.
Pesky was the word I was thinking. That's funny.
Pesky. So I said frisky, but
that's close enough.
Close enough. Same. They're just they hang around. That's what kind of happened in the Pacers game. Is they wouldn't the Pacers pull away from them, and they kept it close, and it was a really ugly last 4 minutes. But they got it on a very fortunate. And I agree with you. I don't think it was Turner's fault in the box set. It was just the way the play design worked out. But they kind of knew that it. They could get the ball inside the college down and could kind of fight his way to get a putback, and it worked out. And truly, truly, Bojan should have made that shot, and unfortunately he didn't. But I get why Pacers weren't mad they lost this team, but they should have beat this team, but they hang around, and that's why they're 11-11 and have actually a shot of making the playoffs, I guess.
I don't think they will. I mean,
but right now they're in the playoff hunt at least.
So the Pacers finished this game with 110 points let's see how far back I can go and do this. Okay. Yeah, Doug McDermott put him at 107 with 5:06 to go. So they just could not score at all.
No, they couldn't buy a bucket. And they kept calling timeouts and running plays that didn't work. And it was just
– Yeah, the Kings were switching everything off ball, so none of the plays worked, and nobody could make a read.
And that's why McMillan pulled Sabonis, right, to put Turner in? Or to pull Turner to put Sabonis in. Sorry, the reverse.
Yeah, Turner was in – no, Sabonis was in at the five-minute mark. Then they pulled Sabonis to put Turner in, yeah. And then they hit the three, and then they were playing D, and then they took Turner out. And for Sabonis, and then they couldn't get it done. But I don't know if the Turner Sabonis thing necessarily had as much bearing as some other subs.
No, but I think the Sabonis thing, the last point they scored was on that path Sabonis had to McDermott, yep. Right, where he mostly led him to the rim. I mean, Sabonis was hurt, I think, or whatever.
Three, wasn't it? Constantly the three. You're right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, there was a pass by Sabonis to McDermott that was beautifully in the fourth quarter.
Yes, that's what got him to 110. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and so Sabonis wasn't playing great. I think he was a little injured, whatever it was. It was not his best game. So I understood why they put Turner in. It just seemed like they needed a bucket, and they were better off to have Sabonis in the court if they could figure that out.
Sabonis was in for the 3 minute stretch after McDermott scored, and they didn't score. And then Turner came in, and then Collison hit the three. I'm not attributing that to Turner. It just is what it is.
Yeah.
And then, I don't think there was an answer. I just think that the Kings were playing a really, really good D, and they couldn't figure out how to execute well enough to score.
I guess my point is that if you get a if Sabonis plays better, which hopefully with this game, they have a much better – they'll probably win. Let's put it that way.
I think that was a problem with the game, I guess. I think we saw a little too much Darren Collison in the fourth quarter. But he did hit the clutch shot of the game, so I don't know. And he almost hit two of them.
It's the problem with Collison is McMillan really trusts him like a lot more than anybody else, really. You can see it. Like, he just trusts him a ton.
Fox blew right by him to make it 107, 105, and then Fox blew right by him to make it 109, 110, and then Fox blew right by him and missed, but then Colley Stein got the rebound because he blew right by him again. Like, I don't know. I just don't think he was the right guy to have out there.
No, I agree with you. What if Darren Collison had made that ended up being
– It didn't count, but it would have been so crazy.
And that would have been a terrible way to lose, but
– I know.
I don't know. I agree with you. It just – the problem is McMillan, for some reason, just like really, really, really trust Collison.
Yeah, he does. I mean, I wrote about it.
Almost.
His shot's just like not falling, and it's hard to figure out why, which makes it hard to say, like, you can't play because there's not, like, it doesn't seem like there's an inherent reason. But
oldness, not to be mean.
But age doesn't really affect shooting that much. I don't know.
Yeah, it does. If you're not, you can't quite get in the conditioning shape. You get tired more. Your legs get tired more. Like,
yeah, the league leader in 3-point shooting percentage for the last decade has been older than Collison 8 times, and they've never declined anything close to this.
Is that guy playing 34 minutes a night?
Korver and Redick play a ton of minutes. Yes.
Not Korver's not playing 34 minutes a night.
Al Korver for the Hawks. Yeah, he did.
Not 34 minutes. I don't know. I mean, there's no way
he played a bunch.
I don't know how many minutes he played, but I would highly doubt he played 34 minutes.
Here's his Hawks minutes per game. 30.5, 33.9, 32.3, 30.0.
What was his age, though? I'm trying to remember his age. Is right nice.
30, 31, 32, 33, 34.
Yeah, but then look at his previous years. It was like 18, 20. Like his build-up to that is a lot less.
Here's a focus here.
No, but if it adds all together, Tony. Your minutes, like it's like a long a career thing. You only have so many minutes you can play, and Collison has played a ton more minutes in his career than
he had played before that. Redick, all these guys. Like you don't just forget how to shoot. Like he's been better.
You have lots of miles on your body. It wears. Collison has played 27 or more minutes every single game. Every single year except for one.
I really don't think it's aging. I think the shot's just not going in, which is still bad. Like that's not a good thing, but it's just not going in.
I think it has to a little bit with just wear and tear on that body. It does. It has to. I mean, it just does. I mean, like you can't just. I don't know. It's just not going in. Isn't a good enough explanation. It's kind of like saying.
I agree, but that's like kind of how it is. His defense has been worse than last year. Some games he's engaged, like the Suns game, he was okay on D, and the Lakers game he was not like abysmal, but the Kings game he was terrible. It's hard to decide what you're gonna get from him every night on defense. That's why I wanted Corey Joseph at the end of the Kings game, but you know, we have since exhausted this discussion. I forgot what we were talking about before we went on our Collison right there. Oh, Sabonis and Turner, yeah. and for the Kings in particular, Colley-Stein got a bunch of lobs this game. They were really, really into like blitzing pick and rolls, and they made them pay. I do not think that's going to be the case again.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think they have to find some kind of antidote to Colley-Stein. I mean, he did sort of kill them. I don't know what the answer is. I guess if I had to guess, it's kind of forcing. And he's not a great post player, I don't think, and so it's kind of forcing him, like kind of the Enes Kanter method where you kind of let him get the ball, but you kind of let him just chuck up really awful shots and hope he misses enough of them, basically.
Right? The Kings bench was 8-for-12 from three. That's not happening again. Troy Williams is not going to hit some of those shots again.
Bogdanovich, too, was hitting things like crazy. Like, I mean, some shots that just shouldn't go in.
Watching Troy Williams go off makes me so good. Troy, bad Troy is my favorite IU thing. Like, watching him. So watching him do in the NBA is even funny.
I can't believe he's in the NBA, to be honest.
Undrafted, but had a great summer league. The way to do it.
Yeah, I mean, he's playing well for this Kings team.
Now he's probably going to have like a 10-year career now.
Yeah, no. And on a lighter note, what do you think of Quinn Buckner calling Bojan Indy Bogey?
What if I told you I watched the Kings broadcast?
Well, I know you probably did, but you're on Twitter just like everybody else.
I forgot I did hear that, actually. It made me laugh.
I thought it was funny. I thought like
they're pronounced differently. I don't get why. It's very confusing.
Is the other one Bogdanovich pronounced differently?
Oh no, I meant their first names.
Oh yeah, the first name. It's
and they don't call the other one Bogey. They call him Bogdanovich.
Yeah.
I don't know. But that was fun. I like the matchup when they play each other.
Yeah, did you see the best thing was that photo where they're talking to each other? And it was I mean, I assume they know each other from your league ball or whatever. Sure. I'm sure they go back. I wonder if that's a common name though out there. In Eastern Europe, you know what I mean? Like, you know, like kind of like the Smith of Eastern Europe.
Thad was weird in this game because he shot 6-for-8, but was a -1. Some of that's just that they have stretchy fours like Bialica, and some of that's just like his defense was weirdly not good. So that's something to keep an eye on. But a lot of like weird stuff happened in that game. Like I just felt like everybody was kind of meh. So I think they're going to play better this time.
Yeah, everybody but Bogdanovich was meh.
Yes.
I guess, I mean, that again, it could be an age thing. They're running those guys a ton. I'm telling you that, yeah. I mean, the Kings play at a ridiculous kind of pace for an NBA team. It feels like a ton.
Are they first? Are they number one? Oh, we didn't do their numbers. They are second. Second in pace. 17th in offensive rating, 21st in defensive rating. The Kings are on a back-to-back, though. I don't know if that'll hurt their pace or not. But
they got a lot of young guys, though, so it's another, I don't know.
It's true. Road back-to-back, their third road game in a row.
Right? I mean, who's the oldest guy on their team?
That's a good question. The answer is probably Kosta Kufas, but I could be wrong. Oh, no, the answer is Nemanja Bjelica.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Yeah, he's 30. Kosta Kufas is only 29. Kufas played pretty good D on Sabonis.
He did. The rest of the roster, like, you know, you got Colistein, who's 25. You got Hield, who's probably 25 or 26. You've got Fox, who's 21. Shumpert's probably 20 or 29. Trent Williams is like 23 or 24. Like, they got a lot of young dudes.
Dudes, yeah. They have a decent future. Bagley didn't even play. We'll see Marvin Bagley. Marvin Bagley is a net negative player because he's a rookie, too. That will also help the Pacers.
I will say this. I think the Pacers win this game, though.
I do, too. I think they go 2-1 this week, and they win this one.
Which is unfortunate because I think they need to go 3-0 to keep up with their pace.
2-1's fine. I mean, losing
it's not to Vic, but like the problem is
losing to one of the Bulls' Magic Kings. You look back and go, "Wow!" But you know what?
Yeah, it's kind of like losing to the Kings twice. Losing to the Kings twice in a season, you'll look back and go, "Holy fuck!"
I hope the Kings win 38-40, so I can look back and go, "Okay, whatever." On the road, yeah, that's fine. But now, last year when they lose to Atlanta, and I look back,
The thing with the Kings is they have no incentive to tank because they don't have their pick. So like they're probably going to finish with 30 wins because they'll just rack up garbage wins.
No, 30 would make me feel bad about that loss. Like 40 is the number.
Oh, well, I don't do the 40, but they get to 30 to 35, to be honest.
Yeah, they could. They could.
35 is out of the question. I mean, they're already at 11, so I mean.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah, 41 on pace. They won't, but they are.
They'd be going like 24-40 the rest of the way.
Good for them. I think they win too. No one I really feel like for that, like to do butchers and stuff, like nobody.
Colistein, man.
Like in your head, Fox had a good game, right? Like to me, watching Fox is like, oh yeah, he was good. He was 4-for-16. Like he wasn't really that good. He had more turnovers, as many turnovers as this. Colistein was pretty good, but I don't think he'll play that good again.
17-13 on 8-of-13 shooting. That's pretty good.
Colistein, he was 8-of-13.
That's what I said. 17.
I'm sorry. 17-13. I thought you said 7-of-13.
No, 17-13 on 8-of-13 shooting. That's really good.
He was really good.
And so was Bogdanović.
Bogged squared.
Whatever his name is, he was really good. He had 20 points.
Yeah, I think the Pacers win though. I don't know. Tyree Pell played okay too. Hopefully he can do that again. Not good, but okay.
And he played okay. You would like him to play better against Colistein.
I hate that the barometer for me with him is okay. I want him to be like, yes, good. But
well, the thing about him is like you like him to kind of step in now that Oladipo's not there a little bit more.
Whatever.
No, I mean, I'm not saying like you don't have to be this like. I understand the expectation of him being a 20-point game guy is ridiculous, but like you would kind of hope when there's like he's a really good, I guess. He's just role player. He's not necessarily anything else above that. Like he's a really good piece.
On a good team, yeah, exactly.
But he can't fill in anytime. You can't kind of make it that next step, which is annoying. Like Bojan is a really good piece on a good team, but he also can step up at the moment sometimes, like he has this week, the past couple weeks, kind of to really kind of elevate his game when he needed it most. And Turner, I don't know if he can do that. And that's also another reason to be frustrated with him.
Yeah, yes, I agree. All right, anything else?
No, we've done a lot of talking over the past 2 days.
We have. Tomorrow, you will hear my lovely voice again talking about the Bulls game. Thursday, you will hear Adam's voice talking about something.
Who knows what? We'll figure that out on Thursday or on Wednesday night.
Maybe something will happen in the Bulls game that'll be worth talking about.
Maybe Viv will come back on
Thursday. Yeah, that could be it, too. That could be it, too. You can make fake Terrence Ross trades. How about that?
Nah, I'll make fake Miles Turner trades.
And then I have a magic guy for Friday, so that'll be fun.
Yeah, the Magic and Kings.
Yes. Oh yeah, I should be the other game too. The Kings are a team that exists. So yeah,
be on the lookout. Better than the Magic, to be honest. Well, they're as good. They're even. They're both.
Probably. I think they're better. No, I think the Magic are better. I take it back.
They have the same record, or close. 1-11-12. 1-11-11.
They're gonna have the same record. Okay, I got nothing. I just wrote about Thad's ridiculously bad shooting on jump shots this year. Go check that out. It's good.
I'm an article about Sabonis coming out tomorrow, probably.
Ooh,
I get it up, actually.
And, of course, listen to yesterday's show. It's pretty long, but it's very good.
Yeah, enjoy during your car ride. You can break it up over time. I mean, it's a good podcast. A lot of good page discussions.
It is currently being downloaded by someone in Japan as we speak, Adam.
How many hours are they ahead of us? 12, 10? 15?
12, I think so.
No, that's China. China's
good 12. Morning to the downloader in Japan.
Yeah, well, enjoy. If you are that downloader in Japan, you should tweet at us right now. Tweet us tomorrow when you hear the, or 2 days, I guess, now when you hear the podcast. We would love that.
Yeah, how many hours would that be from now when the dude hear it? One day plus 12, so yeah, 36. 36 hours from now when you hear this?
Yeah.
He does. All right, I got nothing else. So thank you guys for tuning in for 3-game previews. Appreciate you guys listening this week. It's been fun. It's been a fun season for me, at least, unlike the depressing people from yesterday.
I had fun this season. I had fun yesterday, too.
It's going to be a fun week, an easy schedule to hopefully balance out some stuff. Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you tomorrow.